as I get closer to where he went off the road, I see a big black shape in the middle of the road walking. So I have to slam on my brakes and try to swerve myself because this thing is walking in the center of the road. Because I don't see a head and I don't see arms. I just see a really big, tall person, like big, thick legs and a big, thick torso. And they're moving very funny.
But to be honest, I wish I had have seen some of her vulnerability. I wish I'd have seen her in that space so that I would have language.
And he says, no. That's not why you're angry. That's why you're mad. Mad is on the surface. Mad is a surface emotion. You're angry. And anger is deep. That cuts to your soul. You are an angry young man. And I couldn't answer. I then had come to realize over the next course of a few hours, I'm musing to myself, and I realize I've been a victim my whole life. That's why I'm so angry. And over the course of the next 19 months, this man changed my life. He helped me to realize about processing emotion and how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that's where the metamorphosis really began for me. And I learned how to, I'm a survivor, right? I know how to survive.
I was understood for the first time in my entire life. And when I read those things and I learned, quote unquote, those things about myself that I had known forever, but never really had the semantics for, I couldn't unlearn them. Like I heard this quote years ago and it resonated with me so much. And it's like, you can choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know.
Today, I have Jamie Bonfilio on from Whole Sun Wellness. And so she's the founder of Whole Sun Wellness and the Utah Fungi Festival. She lectures to audiences worldwide on the benefits of medicinal mushrooms and advocates for higher standards in mushroom cultivation and processing. She's crafted dozens of custom mushroom blends, which can be found in conventional and holistic medical clinics, and is currently creating new therapeutic formulas for psilocybin and laying the groundwork for production of these medicinal blends. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So
that was a nice intro. Wow.
Full disclosure, she has so much information on her website, and I will put a link to that if you want to read her entire intro and everything that she's done. It's a lot of time and effort and passion into her business and her projects. So I'm going to basically just hand it over to you and tell us and share with us, how did you get started in mushrooms?
Yeah. So years and years ago, I worked for a company called Host Defense, Paul Stamets. He's kind of a mushroom guru as well. I was doing their education demos here in Utah. And during that time, I knew about mushrooms, but I didn't know about all these mushrooms, right? And I was also going through my own health journey. I deal with Crohn's colitis. Because of mushrooms, I've been in remission for over 10 years now. But going back, it all started from there. I fell in love with mycology. I fell in love with everything to do with fungi and mushrooms. And then ending up after 2 years of working with them, I was like, you know what? I want to do my own thing. I had no idea what I was doing. I just had that passion. And so when I started my company, I wanted to focus more like right now, back then I was more focused on the mycelium more than the fruiting body, which is the whole mushroom. So I wanted a company that was focused on more of the fruiting body, and it was grown on its natural substrates, not grain, but on the hardwoods that feed these mushrooms, right? So I started a company focusing on that. When I first started, there was not suppliers here in the US. I had to make my own supply chain. We now work with 8 different countries globally. And then over the last 6 years, I have brought back US farming. So now we're a dual immersion. We have our US farms and we also have our overseas farms. But it all, honestly, Monica, it all started just for my love of mushrooms that I got from that experience with the company and then my health issues and then just wanting to produce something that was going to be different, that was going to have more potency, a higher quality that you're actually getting, you know, the benefits of these medicinal mushrooms and the active compounds that you don't get necessarily all through the mycelium. You do need the fruiting body to get a lot of these benefits. So yeah, now it's almost been 8 years. We're a global supplier, supplement companies like Mercola to chocolate, like food and beverage. And then we have our retail brand. I am now vertically integrated. I oversee all the farming operation. We do all the extraction. Our lab is the largest fungi focused lab in North America. That's all we test. Forest fungi. And then also I've went into the space of psilocybin as well. Definitely not here in Utah because it's technically not legal to do here. And then, you know, just being able to educate and set standards in the industry, that is mainly what my company is doing. So when a consumer goes into this shroom boom and say they go into a retail store and they see a wall of mushrooms, they're going to know, oh, this is what a dried powder is. This is what an extract is. This is what the mycelium is. So they are educated to make those choices and know what they're putting in their body because it can be a little overwhelming. And we're starting to see in the mushroom space right now, kind of like the CBD space. It blew up, it got oversaturated. And because of that, there was a lot of not good products. That we're not clean. And we're seeing that already in the mushroom world. So I've been fighting for better transparency, labels, you know, quality. Again, like if it's an extract, it's an extract. If it's not, you cannot call it that. So that's basically my company. And then with the Utah Festival, it took me 4 years to launch the first festival in 2022 because it's just been me. I was a one-person show trying to put on this 3-day event. It was very successful, and we can get into that more later because we are doing it in September now as well. But yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. I have so many questions. I don't even know where to begin. So maybe we could start with growing practices. Okay. How should a consumer learn about the growing practices and what sets your product apart? The wall of shrooms.
Yeah. I call it the wall of shrooms.
I know, it's crazy. You go in there and there's so many different brands and you feel overwhelmed and then you end up not buying anything because you want to go like, oh, I got to read this first and find out what, you know, I don't want to waste money on something that's junk. Right. So
yeah, exactly.
Maybe if we start with the growing practices and then do some little education.
Yeah. So the biggest difference with our company is we grow on the hardwoods, right? I always tell people, I use chaga as an example. Chaga is wildcrafted. We cannot harvest chaga. I mean, we can't cultivate chaga. It's just not it's not possible because chaga needs the birch tree. A live birch tree. And so what the chaga does, it inoculates a wounded birch tree with its spores and then slowly grows on that birch tree and feeds off of it. But by feeding off of it, that's where it gets those natural like betulinum and all these other great compounds that we want for medicinal purposes. And then the tree becomes dependent. And the reason why I'm talking about the chaga is because that's how you need to look at the other mushrooms we're growing on our farms. We grow them on the hardwoods that they're supposed to be grown on because that is a food source for them. So like when we eat, we absorb nutrients to vitalize us, to make us feel good and healthy. Well, mushrooms are the same way. They need that food. They need to produce those natural occurring compounds and build up the mushroom itself. So all of our growing practices, we truly are mimicking nature to a T. We do not grow on grain or any other substrate. Now, a lot of mushroom hobbyists, right? If somebody wants to start learning to cultivate, that is the number one substrate that they learn on. It's called grain spawn. They invented it back in France in the 20s for mass production of culinary mushrooms, and it was more sustainable than cutting down trees. But the problem is with that, if we grew, again, our mushrooms on that kind of substrate, we're not giving the nutrients to the mushrooms that they need to, you know, get these natural occurring compounds and to be healthy and to be medicinal for us. So all of our mushrooms are grown to mimic. We also, after we grow our mushrooms, we don't just harvest them and then throw them into extraction. We actually test for any airborne contamination and also mold. Mold can be a big problem with mushrooms, and we do not want that in any of our mushrooms because it can cause people to get sick. Once we harvest our mushrooms, again, having it in a natural environment, we do what's called sun drying. So we take the mushrooms and we put them out under the sun on drying racks, because there's a chemical compound in a mushroom that it's almost like the cholesterol for the mushroom. If we do not have the UV rays, we can't convert that into vitamin D. And mushrooms are really high in vitamin D. So I always tell people, like if you buy culinary mushrooms, most of your culinary mushrooms are grown in a very dark area in a farm. You know, it's dark, there's not light, stuff like that. I would always put your mushrooms out on the patio or somewhere getting direct sunlight for 30 minutes to get that conversion of the vitamin D. But it's just, when it comes to growing practices, all of this starts from the way the mushroom is grown. So if we did not do these steps, as I just mentioned, from making sure it's the natural substrate so they can feed, to how we're harvesting, to even drying, at the end, you're not going to get a potent product, and it's not going to be, you know, high in the compounds that you're looking for besides the vitamins and minerals to get benefits from. So it's really important. Again, there are some mushrooms we can't cultivate. We definitely can't cultivate chaga. We're getting all of our chaga out of Alaska and Canada. I love we call them the bushwhackers in a sense, because they go out there and that's all they do is harvest chaga. And then our turkey tail is also wildcrafted. Our turkey tail is currently coming over from Europe. However, we just found a harvester here in the U.S. I'm hoping he'll be able to collect enough. I don't know. It's really hard to cultivate turkey tail. We're trying, but it's still hard.
Interesting. This might be a good point to ask about the different species that I have and maybe some of the benefits. You don't have to like go way too far down the rabbit hole, but
yeah.
So you mentioned turkey tail and chaga, and I know that you do blends of different ones. So maybe just highlight the different species.
Okay, so I'll kind of go over seven different main mushrooms that people know of. Lion's mane, I believe most people know lion's mane. It got really popular for brain support. It is a phenomenal mushroom. It does help with nerve growth factor. So it's been proven to regrow nerve endings, great for neuropathy, mental clarity, focusing, people that are struggling with depression to anxiety to ADHD, everything to do from a college student, you know, to someone that's elderly. It really is the brain awake mushroom. It is also great for digestion and it tastes good. Now, when people always ask me, if I eat these mushrooms, am I getting the same benefits of taking like an extract? No, you're not. You're going to have to eat a lot of mushrooms to compare to even a small dose of an extract. And they're not even cooked down or broke down. So you're not getting all of those compounds just by eating it. It's still beneficial and you're still getting vitamins and minerals, but you're not getting the therapeutic aspect that most people want from these. Reishi is a beautiful mushroom. I always tell people reishi is like the woman's mushroom. It really does help with menstrual, you know, cycles to menopause, premenopause, hot flashes. It's great for respiratory, great for people that struggle with allergies. It is out of a study they did on PubMed, and I never tell people to go to Google and just type in. I always say go to PubMed. That is the most, you know, critical claimed, like actual clinicals that you can get resources from. But they found when they did a study with reishi and like 100 other different things like melatonin, tart cherry, all of that, that it was number one for insomnia. So you can take reishi at night. It's going to help you sleep better. It's also a liver detoxifier, right? And it's going to balance cortisol. So that is definitely a good one for a woman or just somebody that is struggling with sleep issues. It truly is the calming mushroom. If you take it during the day, you're not going to feel whacked out, tired. It's just, if you have a stressful job and you're all over the place, reishi is a good mushroom to be taking. Cordyceps. Cordyceps, I always look at as the man's mushroom. It is number one for testosterone in men, libido, energy, stamina, endurance. It's great for infertility, both in men and women. It's great for people that are active, like a pre-post workout, high altitude hiking, climbing. It helps with oxygen intake into your lungs. It's great for your metabolism. It is a stimulant. Now, you're not going to feel all shaky, but cordyceps is not a mushroom that you would take in the evening, right? It is definitely something you'd want to take before you're working out or after, or just if, again, if you work in customer service or whatever your job is, you could do cordyceps, and it's a much better thing to do than an energy drink or some of this other caffeinated stuff. I know I'm talking fast. I'm just trying to go over some of these mushrooms. I always say cordyceps is a man's mushroom. Reishi is a female's mushroom. Now, it doesn't mean women and men can't take, you know, the mushrooms. It just really targets a lot on hormonal health for men as well. So then let's talk about turkey tail. Turkey tail is pretty phenomenal. It definitely got a lot of clout because of breast cancer treatment when the FDA approved it in clinical trials back in 2014. It is an amazing mushroom. It is like if you're against, you know, doing the flu shot, it's better to do turkey tail. It's a great immune fighting mushroom. They recently did on another study on PubMed that taking turkey tail is better than taking a probiotic that you can buy in a health food store. And again, you got to remember all of these mushrooms, they truly are food. Now, a lot of these you can't eat, like turkey tail and, you know, reishi, you're not going to cook up because they're really hard and tough, but it still is a food. So our bodies assimilate and, you know, absorb these mushrooms a lot better because it is a food. And we're genetically actually closer to mushrooms than we are plants. So it's pretty phenomenal. But turkey tail is a good choice. Maitake is one of my best ones for immune support. In all of the clinics I work with, when I first started my company, I went into more cancer clinics than I did health food stores. Now I'm in about 46 clinics across the U.S. Our products are being used. And maitake is one of the number one mushrooms they use in the clinics, besides the deep immune and shiitake, which I can talk about those as well. It really is a strong immune fighting mushroom. I mean, I can't say too much in the clinical side just because we have, you know, bylaws of what we can say and what we can't. But I will say during COVID, all of that, maitake is something that everybody should be taking. My company here in Utah, we passed out probably $80,000 worth of product during COVID for free just to get people to take mushrooms. I had drop boxes of mushrooms all over the valley. Maitake is also number one for metabolism. So people that struggle with weight, especially hormonal weight, as we get older, women get wider, men get big bellies, right? Because of their hormones are changing. So maitake really helps balance your metabolism. It's also great for infertility too, but overall look at that as like the strongest immune fighting mushroom. It also though helps with type 2 diabetes. So it helps with glucose leveling those as well. If somebody was on a blood pressure blood sugar medication, they would want to work with their physician to slowly get off of it. And then they could replace it with maitake because it could drop them too low. And I do want to do a disclaimer on reishi. If somebody is on a blood thinner, they cannot take reishi. You just can't do it at all. There's nothing. Every other mushroom, there is no contradiction with medication, but those two you do have to be aware of. Let's talk about chaga. So chaga is what really got me into mushrooms. I don't know, when I first started having issues with my colon, my body was just like, oh, you should start taking chaga. I did get recommended to take it as well. But within, from being like 90 pounds and then wanting to remove my colon, it took me 6 months of religiously using chaga to start, you know, absorbing my foods, nutrients, not having the issues. Within a year, I was in remission. When I looked into chaga, it is the number one for like IBS, Crohn's, colitis, leaky gut, any gut issue. Chaga is going to be your best friend. The one thing you have to worry though about is if you already have really bad digestive issues and you start taking chaga, it is going to sometimes make it worse in the beginning, but then it will balance you out. Mushrooms are like little scrubbers, right? They go into our body and they detoxify us. They break down our system to clean us out, and then they start restoring and rebalancing. So I always tell people when you take chaga, especially for gut issues, just be aware that you could feel not good, but it'll get better. It is also great for energy. It's great for blood sugar. It's number one for any skin issues like eczema, psoriasis, acne. You could do a chaga mask. You could take the powder and make a mask. So it's a pretty phenomenal mushroom. So we've done, let's do shiitake. So shiitake, out of all the mushrooms, if a consumer said, look, there's a lot of mushrooms, I'm not exactly sure which one to do, I always tell people shiitake. All of these mushrooms kind of target different structures, right? And they're all beneficial. They all help our immune system. They all have, you know, neat things that they do for us. But shiitake is the only mushroom that works every single system in our body, including our brain. So like lion's mane focuses on the brain. But and the digestion, but it doesn't do much of anything else, right? I mean, it's not going to detoxify your liver, kidneys, or, you know, build that. Where shiitake does it all. It's a strong immune mushroom. They have found in studies over time as we age, we don't absorb nutrients correctly in our brain. I mean, just like our food, we're not absorbing correctly as we get older. So they have done studies showing that by taking shiitake, it is absorbing the B vitamins and, you know, folic acid and all this stuff that we need to age better in our, you know, for memory, focusing, all of that. It keeps those nutrients in our body. It is, the only one that's going to work every system in your body. It also is great too for energy, endurance, but it also stimulates brain tissue growth. I want to go back on the brain aspect, mental clarity, everything. It will not do anything for nerve growth like lion's mane, but if somebody wanted a product that they could just say, I just want to try one that's going to do everything, shiitake's it. It's also the highest in the vitamin D as well. So at least ours, a half teaspoon is about 2000 IUs. So it's pretty phenomenal as well. I think that was all. Did I do seven? I think, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, that was.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute. I need to start taking more mushrooms.
That was fantastic. I learned a lot in that. Oh, that was great. I think that jumps into the next part that I want you to cover is the extraction.
Yes.
And I also wrote down fermentation, and maybe that's kind of like all together in sort of the same topic. So if you could hit on that.
Yeah. So when we talk about all these benefits, and again, you know, my website is all about education. So people can go read the blogs to really learn about more of these benefits, right, if they want. But when we talked a little bit on some of the benefits the mushrooms do, this only happens if it's being extracted. If you take a dried mushroom and you grind it up and you put it in a capsule or whatever, it's not bioavailable. What happens is the mushroom has so much fiber. It's called the chitin. It's a very thick fiber. Our bodies cannot break that down efficiently. So we have to do extraction. And what extraction does is we take the mushrooms after we harvest and sunbathe them, we grind them up, we put them in hot water. We do a dual extraction. So we do hot water and then ethanol. But during this time, the water is slowly breaking down the chitin, the cell structure, all of that, breaking down the mushroom for about 2 to 4 hours. It's, you know, just like if you were simmering in a crock pot, right? But this is massive. After we do that, then we filter it through and then we do another splash, like the dual part where we're adding the ethanol to break through the cell structure to pull out some of the compounds we can't just get from the hot water. But the reason why we do this, again, if I did a dried mushroom powder and gave it to you and said, hey, Monica, you're going to get all these great benefits, you're not. You're going to get a lot of fiber, your body's not going to break it down, and you're not pulling out the medicinal compounds that are important to the mushrooms and also the vitamins, you know, to be bioavailable. So we have to do the hot water extraction. We do the dual on, you know, some of the mushrooms as well to pull out triterpenoids and other things we can't get from the hot water. And then we take that extraction, you know, the concentrated water, and we do a process called spray drying. So we're taking the biomass at the bottom, which is the, you know, the mushroom sludge, the concentrated water, and we're putting it back into a powder form. Now, this is another thing. People do tinctures. So they do the same thing. They take the mushroom, but they break it down in through dual extract, and then they'll have a tincture instead of a powder. I choose not to have mushrooms saturated in alcohol because it can diminish the compounds. Alcohol is very abrasive. Ethanol is not, I mean, I am not a supporter of tinctures at all, unless they're in an MCT oil or some other kind of base, because the alcohol will diminish over the time. It's just that aggressive. And they're not herbs. This is the fungi kingdom. It's totally different. And so, long story short, if we don't extract and break these down, you as a consumer are not getting the benefits from the mushrooms. You're not getting the compounds that are therapeutic. Your body will not break it down efficiently. So it's so important to do. And if somebody wants to make their own medicine at home, they can do this as well. You know, they can go to the market or go to anywhere and buy dried mushrooms or cultivate themselves and do their own extraction at home. And then they can freeze dry or dehydrate it in a, you know, a dehydrator and still get the same kind of process. It's just not going to be as strong, right? But it's still extracting it.
You mentioned the different compounds, beta glucans and alpha glucans. And yes. Could you just distinguish between those two compounds?
Yes. Yeah, so the beta glucans actually come from the mushroom. Alpha glucans are more for starch, right? Now, all mushrooms have a small amount of starch, but it shouldn't be more than 3%. Like, it's a very small amount. The problem with the beta glucans, that is one of the main compounds of a mushroom. So when I talked about the chitin, the betas lie in the fibrous wall. So, you know, when we're extracting, we're making those beta glucans bioavailable through the fibrous wall. And then the other compounds we're getting, like, say, for example, cordyceps. Cordyceps, we want the beta glucans from the mushroom. That is its main compound. But we also want cordycepion, which is a compound in cordyceps. If we can't extract the cordycepion, then all these benefits that you're seeing on Google or wherever you're looking, you're not getting those benefits, right? So when a consumer's looking for things, yes, alpha glucans, there's been a lot of debate between, oh, this product is all alpha, there's no betas. And what they're referring to is companies that are growing their products on a grain or an oat. Then when they're going to grind up the finished product and they're testing, their alpha glucans are really high because it's coming from the starch, which is the grain. So when you're looking for a product, you do not want to have high amounts of alphas. You want to make sure that you're getting the beta glucans and ideally getting the other compounds too on the product. So that's the biggest difference.
Yeah. Thanks for that explanation. I was wondering if you could mention the life cycles. On your website, you mentioned that you let them go through their entire life cycle before you harvest, and some other companies just grow them really fast.
Yes. So they're on my website, you know, we have the diagram of like, here's the root structure, here's the fruiting body. I first want to explain that really quick because a lot of consumers might not even know what I'm talking about. They're like, wait, what's the mycelium? What's the fruiting? So mycelium is the root system of the mushroom. It's just like any plant. It's the root system that brings in the nutrients to produce the fruiting body, which is the actual mushroom. So portobello, that would be a fruiting body that you buy in the store. Shiitake, you know, even the white buttons, those are all fruiting bodies. So I just wanted to explain that really quick because a lot of times people that are new to mushrooms, they don't know the difference. As for the life cycle, when we grow out our mushrooms, this is what I always tell people. When I was working, you know, for the other mushroom company doing educational stuff here in Utah, they were focused on the mycelium more than the fruiting body. So they were growing the mycelium on the substrate, freeze drying, and that became the product. Well, when I started my company, I did not want to follow that lead. I wanted to focus on the fruiting body. And so, and when I found out about the fruiting body and understanding cultivation, mushrooms are very slow growing, especially reishi. Like our reishi can go up to 12 months to fully cycle before we harvest it. You know, even lion's mane can be up to 4 to 6 months, right? And so when companies... A lot of companies that are doing fruiting bodies, they'll grow really quick on like oyster, shiitake and stuff because they do grow quicker. And then they hurry and, you know, pull those out and, you know, extract or whatever they're doing with it. There is not a lot of fruiting body companies that are like farming here in the U.S. like us. So it's a little different. But most of what's on the market that's growing really quick is the mycelium because it's grown on a substrate that it can mass produce. Then they take it and 90% of the product is the actual substrate. That is not a mushroom product. And I want to make that clear. Like back in 2009, the FDA and all these other organizations put out labeling warnings to companies saying you cannot claim that this is a mushroom product if you don't actually have mushroom in your product. Because again, mycelium is not a mushroom. It is the root system of the mushroom, right? So that way you could, they do mass produce. But then on the fruiting body, yes, our mushrooms take a very long time to grow. Even our farmers that have been doing this for generations overseas, it still like it takes almost 12 months for our reishi to produce because our reishis are massive. I mean, we dig a hole in the ground, in soil. We bury the wood down into almost like you're planting tomatoes or, you know, your garden. We put it down in the ground, we cover it up, and then the reishi grows up like this beautiful flower. It is so beautiful. And it starts turning white, orange, almost like a creamsicle. I don't know how else to explain it. It's this beautiful flower that starts blooming and then it grows outward. So some of our reishi that we harvest could be a size of a coffee table. Okay. So they're beautiful. I really think people should start using reishi as a sustainable building material besides wood. There's a lot you could do with it. Another way we grow reishi obviously is to in the wood on shelves where they grow out. So there's different forms, but most of our reishi grows from the soil up. And that's why it takes so long to produce because of the way we're growing it. And going back to when you're talking about, you know, the potency, we do this to get full potency of our product. We want, since we work with so many clinics, we have to be consistent, right? We can't just be growing and throwing whatever's out there. We use the same genetics for all of our farms overseas as well here in the US. My overseas operation is the reason why I was able to start a US operation. If it wasn't for the mentorship from these farmers, it would have never happened for me here in the US. So we use all the same genetic cultures that's scientifically verified. We're testing them out. We grow the same process everywhere. So you're getting that 100%, you know, efficiency and potency. So the longer the mushroom evolves, the longer it's going to get these compounds, right, from the substrate that it's feeding off of. I feel personally, if you grow a mushroom and if you're doing the fruiting body and you're harvesting it within a month, you're not doing a service to the mushroom. It needs to grow a lot longer. You can slim them out, which this probably isn't making much sense as they're growing. There's a whole bunch that pop out. You can kind of pull some off to get more absorption to centralize, but it definitely is important to grow them out. We can't mass produce. It's a slow growing process.
Fascinating. Are you, you just have the processing facility in Utah?
Yes.
And you sell via the website?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we did have a pretty big Utah farm in Marysville, but at the time that we launched that farm, nobody wanted mushrooms. I mean, it's only been the last 2 years that I've seen a huge growth, at least in my company, because now everybody wants it. And we're getting a lot of food and beverage companies actually wanting mushrooms too. So going like, you know, for example, some of the companies I'm supplying, a lot of them are food and beverage companies that are adding these medicinal mushrooms because, again, they're food to boost up their product. So that's important. A lot of the, I don't just work with any company either. I work with companies that care about quality and have integrity. I'm not trying to monopolize the supply chain. I just want people to have better choices. Competition is great. We need to have choices. Nobody should monopolize the market, but we need to have quality products that are being put out there. So when you go into the store of the wall of mushrooms, no matter what you're buying, and if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you know you're getting a good product. You know, as a supplier, one of the things that I have found is, when I started, and one of the reasons I started supplying other companies was also to be sustainable for me, but also, again, to put a better product out. But I was finding a lot of the stuff that's out on the market's not clean. And it's, they're not, they're claiming it's something that it's not, right? And so going back to Utah, we do our manufacturing, processing. We have a lot of stuff here in Utah. Our farm is not really moving like it was because we couldn't, it was just way too big for, at the time, people weren't buying. And then like our extraction is being done up in Washington. We will be opening a new facility here in Utah for my brand new product, the mushroom electrolyte. They're like the first ever dissolvable mushroom tablet. It's 100% made from mushrooms. We are going to bring that facility here to Utah and then hopefully expand on some other things. One day it'd be nice to do psychedelic stuff here in Utah too. On the psilocybin day. Side. One day.
maybe just jump on over here to Colorado. I think we're a little bit more. Yeah.
Well, and in Colorado, it's so crazy. Like you can grow it and you can donate it to your friend, but you cannot sell it. So at least they're allowing people to do their own medicine. You know, I think that that's kind of beneficial. But yeah, so I mean, as a supplier, you know, we do work with a lot of supplement companies, food and beverage companies, coffee alternatives. I mean, I'm sure you see it all the time. Mushrooms are everywhere. They're going in everything, cold brews, everything. I saw mushroom peanut butter the other day. Yeah. So they're
nice. I love peanut butter, mushrooms and peanut butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
There might be some expensive peanut butter, but
it was. I was like, yeah. Oh God.
Oh gosh. And you've got the, so you've got the Utah Fungi Festival coming up May 13th through the 15th in Salt Lake City. Tell us about
that's the old date.
Is that the old one? Okay.
New date. So there, you know, there's been a lot of confusion because if you go to the UtahFungiFest.com, it's still showing the last festival. So it shows those May dates, which we are going to update that. We're actually doing it September 6th, 7th, and 8th of this year. We haven't announced where we're holding the Saturday at because we're kind of looking at different locations now. Last year we did it at Mountain America. We're wanting to switch it up, but we should have that launched in the next month so people can at least see. The first night will be at Second Cider. It's 21 and older. So we're not opening it up for, you know, anyone under 21 because the first night we really dive in to psychedelic medicine and really talking about dosing and everything else. And so we just want to age appropriate. And plus we're having it at a cider place that's going to make mushroom drinks for us too, for people that want to come. But Saturday is an all age event, which also does cover some psychedelics, but it's just in a different manner. This year I think is going to be 1,000 times better. Like the first year I did it, I was grateful for how big of a response we got, because it took me a long time to put that festival together. And now with the mushroom boom that we're in, it's going to be probably three times as big. That's why we're looking for a bigger space. It's definitely going to be different than our first one, because we want to make sure everybody, you know, like the speakers are getting a full house where people aren't trying to see a whole bunch, where that's what happened the first time. And it's going to be kid friendly too, you know, so you'll be able to register for some of the presentations. There'll be different activities. We're going to cover everything to do with mushrooms, to even the mushrooms that grow in Utah Lake, everything. It'll be pretty cool. And then the Sunday will be forays with the Mushroom Society of Utah. So they will schedule out, but the difference with this year, you will have to register for the forays, and there's going to be a limit, because when we did it in 2022, they had like 60 to 70 people show up for each foray. And that's just a little too many to really take in what, you know, these people are doing and going on these hikes. It's a lot of people. So I hope everyone will come this year, and it's affordable. We're not charging a lot of money, you know.
Yeah,
that's to be a community event.
That sounds amazing. Will any of the talks be available like over Zoom virtually for folks that can't get to Utah?
I think we will do that, or we might pre-record them and then launch them on the website like after the event. I know that we did record some stuff the first year, but again, like the first year, I just put it together. Now, I mean, it was a good experience for me because I was like, oh, okay, this is how I'm going to do it differently next time. That is why this event is a biannual event instead of an every year event. Until I can build a community, a board, I can't do this every year. You know, I got to get more Utah people on board to be a part of it, wanting to participate, being volunteers, right? So that's why it's a biannual event. But yeah, I think this year we were planning on recording the presentations, but it would probably go on after the event.
That would make it pretty accessible to a lot more folks that couldn't come out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. Do you have any other? So you just released the Mycolites, mushroom electrolytes.
Yes.
And so all of your products you can get on the website. Can you just tell us about the website and the address and everything?
Yep. So the website is just www.wholesunwellness.com. We're also in local retailers across the Utah and across the United States. But I mean, I always tell people, please support local if you can. Of course, I love people, you know, buying from my website, but I like, if you can go to a local store like Dave, Sherlin's, Redmond's, Good Earth, or I mean, wherever in, you know, health food stores are in other states, please look into that first. But our website's very informative, a lot of education. I always tell people, you know, if you really want to learn, go to our website. And it's not catered to my products. Like, there are stuff on there that talks about the formulations. Like, let's talk about the deep brain. Let's talk about lion's mane. But I use it to really just educate on mushrooms in a whole. So no matter what product you choose to buy, say you don't want to buy my products and you want to buy from another company, at least you're being educated. That is what's important to me. So I definitely encourage people to go to the website. The Mycolites, that is a brand new product. I definitely tell people I'm now the Willy Wonka, but I have a mushroom factory instead of a chocolate factory. This product took me a very long time to create. So I am the formulator of my company. I do all the formulations. We are a mushroom company. We are not trying to do everything in the industry. We focus on mushrooms. The mushroom electrolyte is the first product I've done that steps out of just mushrooms only. But when I decided to do an electrolyte, I did not want to do an effervescent tablet after I found out how they were made and all the stuff that's actually added into effervescence that are not natural. And then the stick packs, I didn't want to do a stick pack because I didn't feel like it was sustainable. And I also, you know, just didn't want to do a powder just with added mushrooms. I wanted to launch a product that was going to be innovative and one of its kind. And that's where we came up with the mushroom electrolyte, the Mycolites. So it truly is made from mushrooms. The base is mushrooms. And then we've added like the magnesium, which all mushrooms, by the way, have all these vitamins and minerals, which you can see on our labels, because we're the only company actually testing for nutrition in all of our products, by the way. So I think that's a good thing. So you already get all the vitamins and minerals anyways, but we have added some magnesium, potassium, we've added coconut, you know, for hydration. Our flavoring is mangoes, freeze-dried mangoes that we've powderized. So there's nothing artificial in our product and no artificial flavor or what you would call natural flavor. It is truly, you know, freeze-dried mangoes. But the cool thing about it, it's the first ever mushroom-based product that is dissolvable. So I did this, I just started an Instagram page for it. I'm awful at social media, but I started a page for it called the Mycolites. And I did a comparison between an effervescent to our Mycolites. Ours dissolve like instantly. You just drop it in, you shake it up, it breaks down, there's not sediment. And it does not have a strong taste of mushrooms. You know, it's a very refreshing taste. When I was comparing it to an effervescent, the whole video, the effervescent was still trying to dissolve. It was ridiculous because of what they add in these effervescents that people don't even, they're not even aware of, or they just, the label says, you know, dextrin, this, which is not beneficial. So the cool thing about this product, you're getting 100% mushrooms with other natural sources of magnesium and stuff in there. It's a dissolvable tablet. And the best part, they're shaped as a mushroom. They are actually little mushrooms. They are so cool.
So cute. I love that.
We just launched them maybe about 4 months ago, and they're doing great. All of our retailers brought them in. We're getting great testimonials. We're getting people saying, wow, I love that this doesn't taste like sugar, that it's not some funky like watermelon, chili lime, or, you know, just some crazy chocolate, yeah. You know. And the best part is people are getting a therapeutic dose of mushrooms. So they're getting a dose, a therapeutic amount of the five mushrooms that form the tablet. Plus they're getting their electrolytes that they need for like working out, hiking, or just if they're dehydrated, right? A lot of us are very dehydrated, even if we're drinking water. So it's important to take those minerals and, you know, do something like this. It's a really cool product.
I'm going to buy some immediately.
I'll just send you some.
Oh,
that's right.
Well, it sounds fantastic because I always question those weird packets and you put them in your water bottle. Like, what is this stuff? You know, this is crazy. But yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I highly encourage anyone to try this. support this business. I want to thank you so much for coming on and giving us such a deep understanding of this world, because this is so important, such important information to get out, and hopefully people can jump on and possibly see some of the festival videos virtually if you're not in Utah or any neighboring states. If you want to come out, that sounds amazing.
Oh yeah, please do come support
camp. Utah's got tons of camping, and it's a beautiful state. Luckily it's not too far for me, so I can drive over there, but but thank you so much for doing this. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode. I know I sure did.
Thank you. Yep. And I appreciate you having me on. And just the only last thing I'd say is please educate yourself on the mushrooms and what you're taking and buying, because I really don't want someone to go in and buy a product and they're not getting the benefit, and then they have a really bad view of mushrooms. Mushrooms are truly magical from the psilocybin side to the functional side, but it just has to be done right. It just needs to be processed, extracted right, and just look at labels. And if anyone has questions, reach out to me on my website. I answer all customer inquiries.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening today to another great episode. I sure enjoy hearing about these experiences, and I hope you do also. Be sure and like or follow this show by leaving a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you have an experience or story you'd like to share, be sure and reach out to verbalecho@gmail.com. See you in the next episode, friends. Have a great week.